Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
Merry Christmas, brother. I was thinking, let's do something amazing for our fans. How about our podcast live?
Get out of here. You think we could do that?
I think we should do that, and it's going to happen. So I'm thinking downtown Buffalo State Pizza, some pizza. Our killer cocktail will be available. We get up and do our back and forth. And what about some fun giveaways? What are you thinking?
That's a great idea. Hey, you know what? I've got some tickets to a local Christmas show. I've got some books by an author we've all heard of, or at least you and I have heard of. Yeah, let's do that. That sounds like a great idea. So what? Well, we'll just like you and me, like set up the mics and record the show there, and people are there chiming in. They can chime in a little bit, or how's that going to work?
I think we're gonna have the PA set up because you know I'm a rock and roll guy. And we will broadcast out to the world. If our fans want to ignore us, they can ignore us. But if they're into the podcast, you know, while you're eating your pizza, getting your drink on, what a great way to celebrate the holiday season by hearing about a crazy, crazy story that happened here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a killer time. I think we should do this. When are we going to do it?
I'm thinking Monday, December 11th, 7 p.m., Buffalo State Pizza, 1815 Wyandotte. That's down on the crossroads. And Alex, let me guess, are you thinking of a link that they can RSVP to?
I think there is a great link on the Facebook page. There's an event page, okay? But if you can't find that, there is a great place to go. It's brand new. It's called killingcitypod.com. It is our website. If you listen to the show regularly, you know we've been talking about it. We've been threatening to do it. And you guys, by downloading the show so much and being so excited and posting great reviews, I just said to Jamie, I said, dude, we got to pull the trigger. We were going to wait till next year. I was like, let me just do it. I'll build it. Let's go.
And it looks great. So people join us Monday, December 11th, 7 p.m. I put a link down in the show notes. You don't even have to remember what Alex and I just said. Just hit the button. That's all you got to do. All right. We'll see you soon, folks.
Well, today we've got a real treat. A PR pro who knows a thing or two about telling compelling stories and building successful PR businesses. Meet Barry Cohen, a seasoned PR professional who exudes genuine passion for strategic communications. As the driving force behind BC Public Relations, she expertly guides clients in crafting strong brands and storytelling that stands out amidst fierce competition. Her infectious enthusiasm, and by the way, I've been chatting with her before we started recording, it is already infectious. I need a vaccine for Barry. Her infectious enthusiasm for the PR industry captivates audiences, makes complex ideas relatable and actionable. And my gosh, that is like so much the battle these days. Her wealth of knowledge, experience, and collaborative attitude allows her to garner impactful opportunities for her clients to shine. And you know what? We've got a few minutes with her here in the virtual lounge. So why don't I stop talking and just welcome Barry Cohen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
All right. How long have you been doing this, Barry? How long have you been infectious?
I love that word, and now I'm going to use it all the time, so that's great. Almost 10 years total, working for other agencies and then having my own.
Any particular thing that made you jump to your own?
I think a lot of it was I really wanted to be able to choose the types of clients that I worked with. We've all been there in the industry where, you know, we have a client that we're maybe not enthusiastic about the industry that they're in or just doesn't speak to us. And I was finding that when I was working for other people, you know, you have to work on the clients that they tell you to. And so I really wanted to have the autonomy to choose the type of clients that I was passionate about and work in industries that I was passionate about and really help people who I felt needed it. And it wasn't just putting out the stories. It was really finding what mattered behind it. And so I think starting my own firm, I kind of had that ability to pick and choose the clients I worked with and then how I did business.
Same here. I started mine 14 years ago. And after, you know, working for way too long for other people. And and it's nice to be able to kind of pick and choose. There's times when you can be a little less picky, but yep. I think we both get the vibe there on that. So and I figured a lot of our listeners would would want to know that, what drives people to often leave very comfortable spots at agencies, well, as comfortable at least as they get an agency, and or for private corporations, et cetera, and move on. So it's kind of cool. So let's, so you just told us a little bit about your brand story, but tell us in general, Barry, what makes a brand story not just good, but great?
I think it has a lot to do with the people behind it. I think what I've found is that, you know, you can work for several different types of brands in a particular industry. So when I first started, I was working a lot with plastic surgeons. That was just the niche that I kind of found myself in. I'm very comfortable in the medical space. So I was working a lot with plastic surgeons, dermatologists, and med spas. And they were all amazing people, but the stuff they were putting out was pretty much the same. You know, they're all doing the same surgeries. So it wasn't necessarily figuring out the service. It was, who are these people that are doing it? How are they impacting their communities, maybe beyond the services that they're offering? And so I would find that really getting to the heart of the people was driving the story, as opposed to, you know, they can do rhinoplasty or breast augmentation, which is interesting in of itself, but the person that's doing that procedure, that was really what I was trying to get into. And so as I kind of morphed and transitioned into doing other types of PR for other types of businesses, it was really the people that I connected with and their stories and how they were impacting their communities beyond just offering a service or a product. And that's what I've found, is that human connection more today than ever, I think, is what's driving the story. Because again, we're in saturated markets. I mean, I work in markets across the country, and there's thousands of people doing the same thing. And it's, so I'm finding that the people who are really having that compelling impact on their communities, on a specific location, I think that's what's driving the story today. And that's what people are leaning into more than just the brand itself.
Yeah, I do a lot of healthcare myself, and that's, you're trying to find a differentiator. Well, they're all providing basically, as right. you said, the same service. And you know, the first go-to is typically what, oh, well, they're certified in this, or they've received a best doctor or best clinic, yeah. you know. Okay, great. But still, people, like, that's part of the piece of the puzzle, I think, when customers are trying to select a new healthcare provider. You also want to think, yeah, are these people cool? Do they see me? Right. And, yeah. and that's a thing. You're trying to do that and match that for clients nationwide. Right. As you said.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of thought and a lot of strategy that goes into that. But because the first time, I think, as a PR practitioner, you start trying to cookie cutter it.
Yep.
Then you become the PR person that's kind of saturated the market with people who aren't really thinking. So it's the ones like yourself who are really like, okay, let's identify that story and tell that story in a creative and fun way. So I appreciate that answer. I think that's true. And I think that's a kind of a cautionary thing for people out there looking to hire people like us, is ask for examples of that kind of thing. You know, would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think it's also really important for the PR practitioner to be transparent up front. So I have no problem when a client comes to me and they say, I do this, this, and this. And I'm like, that's not a story. Tell me more. Like, and we have to be honest, because it doesn't benefit the client in any way if you take them on and you're not getting them any hits, right? Because we haven't really dove deeper into their story. And so there are times where I won't take on clients because I just don't feel like there's enough for me to latch onto, because again, I don't think just the basic service that they offer is not enough. So I think it's really important when it comes to your own business. And if you're, you know, a solopreneur and starting your PR firm, that being selective on the clients that you choose, not just based on industry, but based on their particular story and their background and some of the things that they do, is really important, because it's only going to benefit them and you in the long run. It doesn't benefit anybody to just take on clients to take them on. I think it's really important to have those honest conversations up front. And then as you're going through the process of working with a client, like, you have to be honest and transparent. And people will send things my way and I'll say, that's not a story. We're not going to do that. What if we focus on this? So it's really a collaborative experience, but also important for you to be the expert, right? They're hiring you for a reason. And so you have to be honest always.
100%. And you know, when I first started, I kind of fell in the trap. I'm not going to deny it. I took a lot of business, right?
Or you have to, right? Because you're scrambling. Yeah. You're like, I have no money. I have no business. What am I going to do? And you take on people that you might as well normally wouldn't, right?
Right. Well, I've had to learn, you know, and learn that, because I said this to somebody the other day, a prospect, and I said, look, I'm going to be straight up with you. I heard what they wanted. And I do. I've gotten so good at the funnel now, Barry. I mean, if I'm on the phone or a Zoom or in person, I'm just like, I get down to it very quickly. And I just say, okay, you know, well, obvious question, you have any budget? There's one thing right there. Yeah. A lot of people just have no clue what we charge. And that's, you know, that's part of the process. But the thing I'm always like, I just listen for the things where I think I can help. But if I can't, I don't just send them away and go, you know, I try to recommend it to some people I know in the market who can help them, who yeah. do specialize in that. And I think that's what we as practitioners should do. But sometimes it's hard when you're looking at it and you're going, oh man, that is a few months of easy street if I do that. It just won't be very good. And I just can't do that. I can't sleep at night if I do that. Barry, can you got an example of maybe where, and I don't know if you can talk, and maybe you can't name specific clients, but maybe you could talk in general, broad terms of when your storytelling just kicked butt and just really turned things around.
That's a great question. Yeah, I can give an example of a current client I have who I've had for years. She's fantastic. She's an author and financial advisor and has a financial advising firm based in Florida. And we've been working together for a little while. And recently, I've been getting more into the podcast space for my clients because it's exploding and it's just an amazing medium. And she had done some interviews in the summer this year, and we saw about 6 to 7 people reach out to her to hire her. And it was just unbelievable from one 45-minute podcast. And we had done tons of articles before and other types of press. But recently we've just been hitting gold with these podcasts, and she's been seeing a return that's unbelievable. And I've even been shocked, right? Because it shocks us as PR practitioners. We're like, wait, what? What's happening? This is incredible. Because, you know, you send things out and sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't, and you can get discouraged. But when they do and you're seeing this influx of things coming in from just one particular media hit, it's been really incredible. And it's really grown her business in a short amount of time. I mean, she's had a very successful business up until this whole time, but it's really skyrocketed with just this one podcast. So I'm seeing things like that a lot in the podcast space, where we're having clients let us know that people are calling them from that. Cause I think people are just getting their news and their information that way today, as opposed to traditional media. So that's one example recently that's just been incredible to see.
Well, you know, I've been podcasting forever, and I do a show that is another show, Mysterious Goings On. And we feature authors, New York Times bestsellers, all the way to newbies, all that kind of thing. And while we're not like Joe Rogan numbers, we're a quality niche because people who read books and write them listen to us. I mean, we're talking, you know, just only a few thousand downloads a year, but I now know how it feels to be for the other side of the death. Publicists will not leave me alone, Barry. I mean, they got my phone number somehow. They're emailing me. God. And, you know, it's just crazy. But I think that your point, and to my anecdote there, it does point out the power of podcasting, because I think that's what's happening, is people are finding that they're finding niche quality audiences. I don't know if the one you probably got her on a really big name podcast, probably. If it really it was just that one show that kind of started turning things around. It must have been a pretty big show, but there's little ones can help too, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely, it was probably on the larger side, but it was more niche. So it was divorce related. So we were talking about divorce and podcasts. So also very niche, right? Like not general finance, very much geared towards women as well, which that's her niche. She works a lot with women in financial transition. And so we're really finding that those niche podcasts, as opposed to like national media, which is great, but it's so much more broad. And so you may have people reaching out because of that, but I'm finding because the podcasts are so specific that people who are listening are really honing in on what they want to listen to, right? Like they're really narrowing and filtering down what they hear. And so then it gives our clients the ability to kind of tap into that, where they might not if the topic's a little more broad.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And I want to ask you though, since we're talking a little bit about narrowcasting a bit here as one way to, it's one, you can be an effective storyteller, but you have to find the right audience too. It used to be spray and pray, you know, let's issue a press release to the known universe. I find that I just rarely do that anymore with anybody. Even if it's a nationwide, I have to really drill down because I just hate seeing all those emails that don't get opened and all those calls that don't get returned. So I wanted to ask you about that a little bit. Do you find that everything has to be super targeted, or is that just me? It could be just me.
I think we do a little bit of both. I think it one depends on the client and what they're focused on, but I kind of like to approach it both ways. So depending on where they are in their local market, I always think it's really nice to target their local community before branching out nationally, which has kind of been a standard of practice, right, from the beginning.
So that foundation.
Right. So I still like to do that and sprinkle some national publications in there. But I think having those really specific targeted blogs or websites or podcasts, I just think it's more beneficial in the long run. I know from a client perspective, everybody sees those national opportunities as like, that's when you hit it big. And because that's what's been ingrained in us, right? And even as PR pros, like getting started in the business, it's hitting the Wall Street Journal and Fortune magazine. And those are, right, those are the big ones. Like that's what we want to always get. But yes, that's great for notoriety, but I don't think that's always great for your client's goals, right? Like if their goals are specific to their local market, well, yes, a national publication is great. It raises awareness. It looks nice, but are the people in that small Colorado town necessarily reading that magazine? Are they actually going to see that? So we have to be really mindful of the location and the information that they're putting out there to make sure that it's targeted. So I like to do both, but I find that the more targeted approach, we have more success than just going broad and kind of seeing where we get.
Well, it's one of those warnings for me too, when I talk to somebody and they're like, I want to be in the New York Times. I want to be on Fox News. I'm like, well, we all do.
Yeah. You're like, sure. Uh-huh.
You know, it's not as easy as people think, but that sounds good. Yeah. I agree with you. And I think that being realistic and managing expectations is a huge part of what we do as well. You know, and it's the clients where you really, and I'm not complaining about clients, folks. That's not what I'm trying to do, right? That sounds like it, doesn't it? I'm sorry. Anyway, but it's like it's some of those clients where you think you vetted them pretty well, but then later they're just like, well, all you got me was the local weekly rag and an appearance on a podcast and a couple other things. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's only been 3 weeks. What, you know, it's just setting expectations is tough, but I'm wondering about that. And just in general, if you don't mind, because it's kind of nice to talk to somebody who's got a similar sized agency as I do. And I get a little inside baseball, I'm afraid, but here's the pitch. If do you find, though, that people are surprised about how much agencies charge and the way we charge? Or do you find that most of the time they just nod and go, that works for me?
I think 50-50. So I think when I first started out, yes. And so again, like I was similar to you, I lowered my prices in the beginning because I wanted those clients. And then as you grow, and obviously with inflation in the market today, you know, you have to adjust your prices. But I think now more than ever, people are starting to understand the amount of work that goes into what we do. And I think for the longest time, it was like, oh, you make a call to Good Morning America and you get me on tomorrow. And it's like, yeah, if I did that, I'd be a multimillionaire. I'd be out of a job and like, that'd be done. That'd be great. But all the in-between stuff that happens, I think clients don't often know about that. So I try to really educate them. And I think that's been helpful for me is saying, you know, it's not just a phone call. It's not just one pitch. You know, PR is a long-term process. Sometimes we get a hit right away, which is rare. Other times it can take months for a reporter to respond to us. So I think, again, being really upfront with how the process works. And because I've kind of fallen into those traps before where they haven't quite understood, has made me want to really educate them now, like as we bring on new clients, so that they understand what the process looks like. And I think when you're very or overly communicative with your clients, I think that helps too, to kind of settle that, right? Because I think when you're working on your computer, you're remote, you're not in an office with them, they don't always know what you're doing. And so right. I try to really give them you know, those updates, whether it's like a biweekly call or a monthly call, and kind of have it all sent to them so that they can see these reports and are aware of what's going on. I think that kind of mitigates any uneasiness about price while you're in it. And I think just the upfront discussion of process, because again, being transparent, like I have worked for people who have said, you know, we guarantee X amount of hits a month, or they promise the moon and the stars. And I've seen how it gets people in trouble. And I never wanted to be that way when I went out on my own, because that's how you ruin your business, right? Like that's not good practice. And so I think being really upfront and honest about the process has been really helpful.
You know, I do a thing, and I call it the Friday, and it's like a little newsletter that goes out. It's just about that client. Usually there's a joke about Friday at the top. Then there's like, here's what we did for you this week.
Yep.
Here's what we're planning on working on next week. Here are the things we need from you in order to continue doing things for you that you want done.
Yep.
You know, give us these visual assets, give us this, you know. And I found that some clients just tell me, you don't have to send that. I don't, it's another thing for me to read, and I trust you and you're good. But a lot of them just love it. They're like, oh my God, thank you. And I told that joke at happy hour. Thank you. You know, that kind of thing. You know, the one I had a little joke at the top. But so you kind of, you have to do that. And then some, like you say, some want, they want to Zoom with you, or if you're local, they want to have a meeting. And I try to trim it that way. I've just found that I think 100% what you just said though, that if the more communicative you are, it pays off in a sense as an agency runner, because they start to worry less about you, because they're like, well, Barry's always, you know, trying to get a meeting to tell me what she's doing. I think she's working. So that's cool. You know, and Alex has corny jokes. So I think we're good here. So that's the thing we do. So let's talk a little bit about agencies real quick though. For the folks out there who are thinking about that daring daylight escape from an agency, or, you know, a private corp job, or God forbid, you know, nonprofit, and you want to start by yourself. And by the way, if you work at nonprofit, that's a great way to start a PR business, because you'll probably be nonprofit for a while. But the point being, what are the steps you would take? And did you like research? Did you get a client lined up first? How did you do it?
Well, this is a good story. So I'm gonna lay it out.
Let's go.
I was working, I was living in Philly. I'm from the East Coast originally. So I was living in Philly, working for some agencies, and I had just gotten a new job working for a firm in the city. And I had a horrible boss situation that many of us have maybe experienced. And I didn't last very long. I lasted about 3 months at that job, and woke up one day and quit. And then thought, well, what am I going to do now? I could get another job. I could freelance. But I had always in the back of my mind wanted to start a business, and I just wasn't sure what that was going to be. And I thought, well, if they can do it and be mean, I can do it and be nice. And so there's got to be a way to do this and make it happen. And so I gave myself 6 months, and I said, we're going to tap into every previous client I had, family, friends of friends, networks, and just start and see if you get clients. And if you don't, you can get a job, because there are jobs out there.
Right.
They'll be there. They're not going anywhere. And within 6 months, I was like fully busy. I was like, wait, what is going on? This is wild. And a lot of my first clients were family, friends, and people I knew. And I was like, okay, something is happening here. This might work. I don't know how to run a business. I'm still fairly new in PR, so I'm still kind of learning the ropes, but I will teach myself and we'll figure it out, and we'll go from there. And 6 years later, here we are, growing, expanding, and it's wild, and I'm still learning business things, right? We're still learning PR. We're still learning the nuts and bolts of how to run a business, because I think people don't teach you that unless you go to business school or you're familiar. So, you know, it's more than just doing the PR side. You're also learning how to run a business. And I just kind of threw stuff at the wall and hope it stuck. That was kind of my strategy. I maybe wouldn't suggest that for everybody. I thrive in chaos. That's my personality. So when everything was going on all at once and figuring it out, like, that was fun for me. And I could really dial down and figure things out. I also did a lot of cold emailing. I know that's probably not as widely acceptable today, but I was really strategic in the types of clients that I wanted to work with, like mentioning dermatologists and those types of businesses. And so every day I would just research those types of businesses in my area and send out cold emails for just an initial like consult and call. And many of my first clients were cold emails. And it just, I don't know if that works as well today. It did back then. So it was crazy. I just had a lot of success doing that and making mistakes and taking on clients that were good and bad. And then have transitioned the business from, I'm in Colorado now, so I've moved the business. I've lost all my clients and had to rebuild. So you go through that cycle and it's not as glamorous. Like it's way better. I would never want to work for anybody else again and work in an agency. Yeah. But it's tough and you have to be a tough personality and have, the drive and motivation to keep going. Cause like you will fail and you'll have to rebuild and you'll have to do it again. And not everybody can handle all of that. And I say that very confident right now, but like yesterday I was having a full on meltdown. So, you know, it comes with being an entrepreneur, right? Like we have these ebbs and flows. And so I think if you can handle all of that, then it's an amazing opportunity to grow something that's really impactful for people.
You know, I think mean bosses have started more businesses, not them starting it, but inspiring people like you and myself to start their own business. I've had my share of mean bosses and right. I did it slightly differently. I was prepared and knew what I was going to do. I was working for a company. It was a kind of a stopgap. They promised me the moon and delivered none of it. And I was like, why am I doing this? I was like, I quit TV for this guy. And I was so embarrassed. But anyway, I went to him and just said, I'm out. And he begged me to stay for 6 more months as a part-timer, which was kind of good because I helped him kind of get over the hump on a big project. And I sealed the deal. I got lucky through my network and signed a school of business of a local university. Right. And worked with them for almost a year. It was fantastic. So I was good. I was set. But I've had my lean years. I've had my lean times where, you know, like you say, you have these meltdowns or you have, you know, I had a client who was one of my top paying clients and I can't say much more than, let's just say he's going through some things and his clinic is going away. And I had to kind of talk him off the ledge for a week till he got through some basic legal wranglings. And here I am. So then I'm sitting here going, well, you know, I don't, you know, whatever his thing is his thing, but now I'm out my largest client and yeah. I'm scrambling a little bit, but that's part of the deal. And I love that. And I always love hearing from people like you, Barry, who have kind of walked the same path. And I don't know, you can't see her, folks. She's got this twinkle in her eye. I mean, she just loves this stuff. She loves it. You were born for this.
You know, I really do love it. Even the days that are rough, because we all have them. And again, we're juggling more than just the average PR pro, right? Because we're also running a business. So it's not just delivering for your clients, it's managing employees. Like I have contractors now. So now I manage other people. Again, no one teaches you how to do that. And so you have to learn all that. Then it's the finances, then it's expansion. What does that look like? What systems are you putting in place so that things run smoothly, right? All these things that I never expected to get there. Like when I first started, I thought it would just be me. It'll be 3 or 4 clients, nice and easy, right? And then here we are and it's way bigger than that and growing. And you're like, wait, how did I even get here? Which is a beautiful, scary thing. Yeah. And again, it's not for everybody, but if you can do it and you can weather it, and I say like, give yourself the day. So like I'll have a meltdown. I'm like, you get one day, have a pity party, hate everybody and everything. And then the next day you get up and you keep working. And that's what you have to do. And if you can handle that, you can do it.
Oh, I love hate everybody. Oh, I've definitely been there. Yeah. I was going to ask you too. I have a kind of, I call a kitchen cabinet. I got a guy who's a CPA who's helped me with taxes and all that. I've got other people do you have kind of a kitchen cabinet, you know, that you can talk to about business?
Yeah, I do. And we also have a little network too for the business as far as like graphic designers and website people and social media. So we have that. And then I also have my own of like business mentors and finance and accounting and all those things. So yeah, I think having a network, I'm finding at least moving into 2024, that's going to be a huge thing for me. And I think it's super helpful for people who are just starting out, like build a great network of people who can either help you develop your business, but also can help do the work. Because I'm finding you get to a point where you can't do everything, right? You can't be everything right. for everyone. And that's an interesting place to be when you're in business and to realize that, and then right. make the decision to get help, which is also, I think, hard when you've done it alone for so long. And so I think building that network is crucial.
I was going to ask you, you anticipated my question. I was going to say, I bootstrapped this company, and I've done virtually like 95% of it the whole time. And I've hired contractors too, but I'm saying, and I had staff for a while. I staffed up to like 6 people in an office and everything. Oh my God. Never again. They were fine, but Barry, seriously, if the urge strikes you, lay down until it passes. I'm telling you, because I could never get over the hump. I got to where I was billing more than I'd ever billed, but I could not. I was paying it all out to office space, staff. I made more money. I saw less of it, and I worked harder because I had to manage all these people and then find things for them to do, and yeah. things were a little slow. It just, anyway. So my point was going to be, though, that it's hard for me to hand stuff off. And I only recently learned to kind of really delegate and give and just let it go. And thank goodness nowadays, though, for things like AI and automated workflows and things yeah. like that, which really are amazing. I couldn't do this podcast if I didn't have AI and automated workflows yeah. because it would just take extra hours that I don't have. Anyway, I sense, though, that we're cut from the same cloth here on that deal. And I'm going to throw it back to you. Is there something I didn't ask you about? The one thing that you're like, got to get across to people about either running the agency or their storytelling, just whatever, the floor is yours.
Oh my goodness. Putting me on the spot here.
That's my job.
I would say for someone who wants to start an agency or take on a client they're not sure about, my philosophy is never say no. When I first started out, in the sense that when I first started out, I had lots of opportunities for clients and to do things, for example, like do a press conference. I had never done one on my own. I had only, helped out when I worked for other people. And I took on this client that was incredible. We worked with MMA fighter George St. Pierre in Canada. And so we were doing this whole big press conference, and I'd never done it before. And when they said, "Can you do this?" I said, "Sure." And then I got off the phone and I was like Googling how to set up a press conference. Literally. And I can laugh about it now, because if I had said, "No, I don't know how to do that," I never would have had such an incredible experience learning how to do it on my own. And so I right. encourage people, if you don't feel ready or you don't know how to do something, say yes and then figure it out. I'm not saying lie. Don't lie about your credentials. But if there's a project that you are unsure about, just say yes and then you will figure it out. And I've done that over the years in my career, and I've had incredible experiences that I probably wouldn't have had had I been like, "I'm not ready for that," or "I don't know how to do that yet." Right. You can figure it out. So just say yes. Just do it.
Say yes. Fortune favors the bold. And there's another cliche, but fake it till you make it. I was once asked, I was going to lunch with a bunch of PR students, PR marketing students from a local college. And they said, "What's your biggest piece of advice?" And I said, "Fake it till you make it." And you would have thought by the look on their faces, like I meant, be a lie stealing scumbag. Yeah. They didn't get it. And I was like, no, understand. Just don't be so quick to say no, or try to figure things out. I said, the greatest skill you can bring any company you work for, any client you have, is problem solving.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. I think when they're trying to get business, it's like, Everybody you talk to who's thinking about hiring you is really wanting you to answer one question. What's in it for me to hire Barry Cohen?
Yeah.
Which one of my problems, or how many of my problems can she solve? Exactly. And if you can't say that, you're not going to get hired. That's my experience.
Right. And they don't care how you do it, right? Because they're not going to know. They don't need to know how you get there. It's as long as you get there. And however your process is or looks like, that's totally up to you. But again, like if you don't try, you're never going to figure it out. And I don't think there's something wrong with faking it till you make it. Aren't we all doing that in some sense?
Oh man. It's like when we're kids, you think adults have it all figured out when you're a kid, then you become an adult and you're like, geez, nobody really knows. Barry, how do people find out more about you and your company?
So they can find me on Instagram, Barry Cohen PR. They can reach out to me by email, barry@barrycohen.com, and on our website, bcpublicrelations.com.
Great news for everybody. My free gift to you is I'll put it all in the show notes. You don't have to write it all down. So there, I know I'm good like that. I'm very generous. Barry Cohen, is not just telling people how to be a compelling storyteller. She's a compelling storyteller, and she's a lot of fun. And if you need help fine-tuning your brand's narrative, or if you're thinking about making the big jump to start your own firm, I'm sure she'd be happy to chat with you about it. Barry Cohen, I've just had a blast with you. Come back anytime. Thanks so much for joining us.
I would love that. It's been so fun.
Why do people listen to PR After Hours? Don't take my word for it. Listen to Joel Freund, CEO of Fluex Media.
I'm going on a lot of podcasts, and your podcast, the conversation with you is just so authentic and so real that I actually enjoy it. I don't even feel like it's a podcast.
Follow us now wherever you get your podcasts, or visit PRAfterHours.com and get on our subscription list so you never miss an episode.
Is your story reaching the right ears? Or is it just another whisper in the wind? In the symphony of the marketplace, your narrative should sing. Alex Greenwood, a maestro of messaging with over three decades of expertise, is ready to conduct your story to new heights. From navigating the nuances of public relations, to authoring novels that capture the imagination and producing podcasts that speak volumes, Alex crafts narratives that resonate and yield results. Turn the page to a new chapter. Let Alex Greenwood orchestrate your story to captivate, engage, and inspire. Step into the spotlight. Visit alexgpr.com or contact him through this podcast today, and let's start a conversation that matters.
You know what that means? It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit PRAfterHours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.